Welcome to American Godcast.
We are gods here.
Yep. Thanks for deflating it. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And the God of Boredom.
And we are recording this episode over Skype today, just chatting with each other about the second episode of Starz' show, American Gods. Yeah, I am going to go out on a limb and say this was 1 billion times better than the pilot episode, which was already pretty good.
Yeah, I
know we were kind of... I don't remember who felt strongest about it, but I think we were kind of mixed across the board about the first episode. Felt like it was visually great, the acting was great, but it might have been lacking a little certain something. I feel like in the second episode, whatever was missing came through in spades, and it was awesome across the board, and I'm totally on board. How'd you guys feel about it?
Same thing. Like, I thought this was great. They kept up the how visually strong it is. It's so good. And so many interesting things happening. It's like, you know, you see little bits and pieces, and it's all, I feel like, going to add up.
Yeah, I really felt like this was a step in the right direction and such a powerful episode. And yeah, I loved it. I'm hanging on every scene. It's fantastic.
You're slowly dying.
Yeah, we should mention that Pete has been screaming his prayers of the heavens for, 48 hours now? So most of his voice is gone. So please excuse him for that.
Yeah, please excuse me.
Yeah.
What god do you worship, Pete? I forget again.
The god of rage.
Ah, nice. Okay.
How's that working out for you?
I mean, you guys know. It's working great.
I would think you are the god of rage.
That's nice of you to say. It's kind of the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Oh, wow. This is very sweet. Well, let's get you guys who haven't checked out the first episode, though you should definitely watch it because a lot of stuff went on, caught up to the second episode. There is a guy named Shadow Moon who is an ex-con. He's about to be released when he finds out his wife died. He has trying to get home, desperately meets a guy named Mr. Wednesday, who's very mysterious, recruits him to be his aide-de-camp, so to speak, his right-hand man, though we don't know exactly why yet. And Shadow, while saying goodbye to his wife, gets abducted by a weird, potentially god named the Technical Boy, who uses technology to something-something, tries to hang Shadow Moon, but he gets free, a bunch of weird faceless guys get killed, and that's sort of where we left off, plus a bunch of other stuff happened. Anything else people need to know going into this episode?
No, I mean, I think that is it.
All right.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess the important thing to say, the opening sequence was Vikings coming to America and worshiping a god to bring the wind back.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's, and we should also say that Mr. Wednesday also goes by Mr. Hump Day.
And he does this dance. It's the Hump Day dance. And he says that's his chance to do the Hump Day hump, something like that. I don't know. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
It's hugely important. It's a spoiler.
Yeah. Well, it becomes important later. You guys will find out how. So the reason the Viking thing at the beginning is important to remember is not because the Vikings come back, but because this is a framing device it seems like we're going to have for every episode. And here we meet Anansi, played by Orlando Jones, who delivers arguably one of the best television scenes, I think, this season, and maybe one of them ever. He's in the belly of a slave ship. A slave is praying to Anansi to free him, and Orlando Jones shows up dressed in a banana suit, clearly having knowledge of the future, and lays out the entire history of slavery in America and what it means going forward. And it is one of the most fiery monologues I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's so good.
I should also point out, you're not saying a Nazi like a German, you know, thing. You're saying something else. It sounds like you're saying a Nazi showed up, and I'm like,
No. I'm saying Anansi, which is A-N-A-N-S-I, which is a African trickster god who is usually a spider. And there's a lot of stories in African folklore and myth that depict him, you know, just playing pranks on people or kind of monkeys pawing them a little bit, giving them their wish, but not exactly how they want. And that's basically what happens here. The guy is praying to Anansi saying, please save us. Please, Anansi, save us from this. And what Anansi does instead is convinces them, nope, there's no saving. Absolutely not. But the only thing you can do is break out of these bonds and burn the ship to the ground.
Yeah.
And the ground is the ocean because it's sailing.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And the thing that's interesting about that, you know, we haven't meant Anansi in the current continuity yet, but Anansi is tricking them away. Like, he's telling them the truth, but he's also tricking them because this is Anansi's way of getting to America's shores. And this isn't too much of a spoiler. We're going to meet Anansi later on. So it's an incredible way of setting up his character.
Well, and also he says that those guys on the slave ship are sacrificing themselves to Anansi. Mm-hmm. So they are his worshipers, and their sacrifice gives him power as well.
Yeah. I mean, this is skirting spoilers because Justin, you and I have read the book. So tell me if I'm going too far here. But between this and the previous scene, what we've seen is this is an immigration story for gods as well. That this is the way. Last episode we saw whoever the god may be, I think you can probably intuit who it is, but whoever the god may be that the Vikings bring over, that's how that god. They pretty explicitly say in the first episode, that's how that god gets to America. And in a similar way, Anansi at the end of the scene climbs off of a plank that is floated to shore after the burning of the boat. And that's how he gets to the shores of America as well. So this is showing us how these gods get here, how they become a part of the American tapestry when previously they were in Africa or Scandinavia or something like that.
Yeah, I love it as a framing device. We get to see these little vignettes where all the older gods arrive to America. Great.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Then let's just read. We should also say not a Nazi.
Yeah, not the opposite. Potentially, in fact, like a Nazi hunter. You know, like Magneto in X-Men First Class. That's kind of what he's like.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's pretty inaccurate.
Well, let's move on to the bulk of the episode. A bunch of stuff happens with Shadow Moon here, including they kick off officially their road trip, and we find out a little bit more about Mr. Wednesday. Overall, how do you feel about the relationship? How do you feel about the stuff that went on in the episode, and what did you really
spark? I mean, I was... I'm a little disappointed at how slow Shadow Moon is to what's actually going on. I mean, that's a little frustrating, but that's really the only complaint I have. I mean, at some point, all these people appearing to him has got to set off a light bulb that, like, I'm not in the world I thought I was, and I can't just, you know, be blind to all this all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, I take your point, but I also, I mean, he's just come out of jail. His best friend and his wife just died, and he learned that his life is sort of a sham. Everything he was looking forward to was a sham.
Right.
He's in shock a little bit, I think.
Yeah, but still, like, the Wednesday guy shows up perfectly. He gets attacked in a limo by Techno God, and then all of a sudden people are showing up on TV screens talking to him. I mean, come on, man.
Well, so people talk to you from TV screens all the time, Pete, and you shout back at them.
That's true.
So there is that.
You're literally shouting at a laptop right now, I think.
Yeah.
We talked about this the last episode of the podcast, but I think there's a huge capacity that human beings have to explain things, which certainly ties into the overall theme of the show, that gods are unexplainable, or perhaps how we explain the unexplainable, right? That, you know, we thunder and lightning happens. Without science, you don't know how. So you say, oh, well, there's this guy with a big beard who lives on top of a mountain, and he's throwing down lightning bolts, and we'll call him Zeus, and that's who he is.
I thought it was God bowling. I thought thunder and lightning was God bowling.
That's all true. All of this
gods
is true.
Do love bowling.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys have always been cool with the fact that I'm the god of podcasts, and like we just talk and hang out and I created podcasts.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Thanks for doing that.
I mean, it's not the most sought after god job, being the god of podcasts, but Yeah. It's not so bad.
I mean, before you, though, there was no platform for three white guys to get together and chat about
stuff. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's my whole thing, is getting white guys work that doesn't pay. I'm the god of podcasts.
Yeah, pretty sweet. Praise to you. I'll send you my I'll burn five head hoods in your honor.
Cool.
But I mean, to your point, Pete, this is what we touched on the last episode, but I think Shadow, there's all potential explanations for the stuff, right? Like everything Mr. Wednesday does, we've already established that he's a grifter, he's a con man, so there's explanations there.
Right. I remember you telling me that, but how do you explain the TV shit?
There are literally TVs that talk to people. Like there's a camera behind it and a microphone, and that's how the person is talking to you, you know? That's entirely possible. Or any of the other things that happen, you know, he gets hit with a device before he gets sucked into Techno Boy's limo. The device, you could probably be like, wow, that must be some sort of advanced form of virtual reality. You know, that's how I ended up there. And in fact, that's probably what it is, even in the context of the show. So for any of those things, potentially you can explain exactly what's going on. And Shadow is trying to grapple with this. Like, to Justin's point, there's a lot of stuff that he's trying to deal with right now. So to say, immediately make the leap and be like, oh, they're gods, and this is mystical stuff that's happening, is probably...
You don't have to realize they're gods. You just have to realize this is normal shit that's happening. This is just magical shit.
Yeah, I mean, but like in all the stories of, like in all the myths, like it's not like the characters that weren't gods are like, wait, what? Who are you? What are you doing? Like they're scared, but they're going along with it. And like, you can't really tell a story if Shadow spends the whole show being like, hey, stop talking to me, TV. This isn't real.
Or like a good magic just trick. A moment of doubt or something would be helpful for me, because
but he this has goes that
all season. It's going to be frustrating.
He has that moment of doubt. He, after escaping from Technical Boy, and he runs over to Mr. Wednesday's room and immediately is like, you need to tell me what is going on. I need to know what's going on. What is happening? Pull back the veil a little bit. And Mr. Wednesday doesn't completely, you know, he hints at things, but clearly Shadow knows things are not totally on the up and up, but he is so lost that he's willing to go along with it and see what happens, because the alternative is essentially he just goes somewhere and goes in a hole and dies, I think. Like, those are his options, is he has nothing for him. So going with this thing he doesn't quite understand is preferable, at least for now.
Yeah. Back into the show, we have him taking a bath. Mm-hmm. Right after. So, I mean, that's pretty weird, because who takes a bath?
Yeah.
So I think he's dealing with it in his own way. When was the last time you guys took a bath?
It's probably
not together. Not together, but separately.
Oh, not together?
Okay. So So the answer to your not question is last night, but in general, like years.
Years.
Yeah. Well, that's straight for the books. I mean, Shadow Moon takes baths pretty frequently in the book. Not pretty frequently, like not every couple of hours.
Like once a day. Yeah.
He bathes. It's amazing. But that's the sequence that leads, I think it's the sequence that leads up to that, where he's walking through his house and he keeps seeing Laura everywhere and she's essentially haunting them. That was beautifully filmed. Beautifully filmed. Right. That was great.
I mean, I could have done without the dick pic, but other than that, I thought it was
What did you think of the dick pic, though, as far as dick pics go? Pretty well done.
What?
Here's the thing. I haven't looked at a lot of dick pics or been sent a lot of dick pics. Why do people do that?
I have no idea.
I mean, that's just...
It's like, show me what's coming. Show me what you got.
Yeah, but that was like... I mean, I sort of get it if it's like full on, like a dick selfie, I guess. But if it's just part of the dick, that's just...
It's the part that changes size and shape. So that's the part. Most people aren't like, let me see those balls, son.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Again,
I'm sure ball pics are a thing.
Probably.
Yeah, no, I don't think.
I mean, when you think about it, a dick changing size and shape, it's like a little god.
Oh, now we know what Alex worships.
Yeah.
He worships the great grower, not shower God.
If you have any really good dick pics, please email us.
What?
No, no, I'm not going to finish that. comicbookclublive@gmail.com.
Oh, wow. That's all right. Salvin, you're the only one that checks that email, so that's
fine. Listening dick pics. honestly, though, I did think that was a really funny moment. It was sad, and then instantly when he looks up and sees it on the yeah. iPad, I thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
It was like a middle finger being flipped at him.
Totally.
So it was a dick.
And it's not the only erect penis that we see in the episode is the other thing, because we get a little more hint of Bilquis's powers, where she's been shoving people into her vagina, and she shoves a bunch of other people into her vagina this episode. I guess they go to some sort of dimension in space is what's happening, where they feel eternal like happiness.
Seems like a fun spot.
Yeah. Would you do like that?
Yeah, dude, definitely. She's meet Bilquis. She's snacking on dudes and ladies with her vagina all day, her day. I'm going to just get in there, do the whole reverse birth thing, and go have go to boner dimension. Like, I'm way down. I spent a weekend in boner dimension once, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I really feel like Neil Gaiman missed a bit by not calling the book Boner Dimension.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Hey, sequel.
Yeah, because that's the main thing that people need to take out of the show is not the questions about immigration or how we worship or how we relate to religion in modern day, but boner dimension.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think the afterlife is.
Yeah, I actually did think the stuff with Bilquis was really interesting this episode. It was, so far, it's not tied to the main narrative at all, but it's the expansion, no pun intended, about the boner stuff of what we found out about her this episode and how she's visiting what certainly seemed to be a statue of herself back in the day and her jewelry back in the day.
Yeah.
That she's feeling lost just as much as Shadow Moon or any of the other characters are. She is not what she once was and wants to get back to the god that she was. And she can only do that by shoving people into boner dimension.
She feels like a reluctant god. This is like in a lot of vampire stories when vampires are snacking on like animals and they miss being able to their former glory. Mm-hmm. It seems like she's eating, she's vaginally eating like one person at a time when what she wants is sacrifice, worship, like the whole deal.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I thought was interesting, which you could probably intuit, but it was a little up in the air exactly what kind of god she was. But I think based on the statue, she's a fertility god, pretty clearly. She's not a sex god necessarily. So that explains the whole reverse birth thing, shrinking people down to the size of babies, more so than the sex part does. Like, she's not trying to get pleasure from it. She's trying to bring people back to the happiness of birth, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
well, it's like she get younger in the process, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like when we eat regular food, like we flirt with it a little bit before we put it in our mouths.
What?
It makes total sense.
Yeah. Like, hey, sandwich, how'd you get here?
Yeah.
Cool.
As a god, it must be awesome to just go check out old statues of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like kind of like flipping through selfies on your phone. Like, I keep all my dick selfies on my phone. Just so I'm like, oh yeah, there's what I was like 10 years. Is that too far? Did I just take it too far? I felt like maybe I took it a little too far.
Yeah.
No. What's too far is when you're constantly showing us your private dick Instagram that you have.
It's called Dickstagram.
Yeah.
We should probably get away from this a little bit.
Please.
Because there's a bunch of other stuff that happens in the episode.
Yes. Definitely.
Well, how about Ian McShane's road trip hat? Pretty sweet.
It was a pretty sweet hat. I mean, again, Ian McShane is perfect
in
the show. He's so good. I'm so excited. I know there's some stuff that we're heading towards just based on where we are in the book. And I'm just excited to see all the different ways that he's going to play this character and all the different shading that he gives him. But one of the big things that happens towards the end of the episode is we meet Chernobog, who is a very important god going forward. We meet two of the three ladies he lived with. Pete, since you're not quite as familiar with the material, what do you think about all this?
That was very intense scene. yeah, I was screaming at the television not to challenge a god in checkers. I just was like, this is a really dumb move, man. And I was surprised that Wednesday wasn't pulling him aside and being like, hey, man, you sure you want to do this? Like,
what god do you think that guy is, Pete?
It's clearly the god of hammer checkers.
God of hammer. Interesting.
So you think he's like Mario?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. That's good. It's actually pronounced Mario.
Oh. Okay. Maybe he's Wario, actually. Oh, maybe he's one of the, wait, who holds hammers? Is it Koopa Brothers?
Yeah, the Koopa Troopas.
Koopa Troopas. No, no, no. It's the Koopa Brothers. The brothers hold the hammers. The Koopa Troopas just kind of like walk. Yeah, so he's one of the Koopa Brothers, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, I'm glad we laid that.
Yep. And the three ladies are the Toad Retainers.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Wednesday is...
And Mr. Hump Day.
Mr. Hump Day. Great. Well, what do you think was going on in the scene? How'd you guys feel about it? What did you interpret from these scenes?
I mean, I was a little disappointed we didn't get to see the third sister that they kept talking about.
Something's up with that lady, I bet.
Yeah. But other than that, like, it was just a very intense kind of scenario. It was funny because, like, he kept saying, hey, I brought a gift for you, and nobody seemed to care. But, yeah, I just thought it was very, very intense scene. And yeah.
In general, people seem sort of sick of Mr. Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, he is clearly not what he once was. He's trying to convince people to team up with him for something. Again, we'll skirt spoilers here, but they're very reluctant to join whatever fight he's recruiting them for, but he's pulling out all the stops. And I think they know he's a grifter, right? That's the difference, is like, they know he's a con man, and they know when he is saying these things, he's trying to con them. And I think that's why they're so weary of everything that he's doing, is they know his charmingness is always for some gain at the end.
Yeah. And I mean, do you say Ian McShane's Mr. Wednesday is not looking so hot? Chernabog doesn't look so hot either.
No.
All these folks are maybe losing a step, these older gods.
Right.
Yeah.
Versus the younger gods. Oh, go ahead.
Younger gods seem pretty fresh.
Yeah.
Especially when he's talking about, you know, murdering cows and how he used to have so much fun with it back in the day, but now it's just, you know, almost automated and there's no joy in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, knowing the book, we're going to get a pretty clear explanation for all this coming up, but we did jump ahead and we didn't really talk about Media, played by Gillian Anderson.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think about that scene? Other than
playing
Pete,
Lucille
the fact,
Ball.
Yeah. Playing Lucille Ball. Other than the fact that it's crazy that a TV was shouting back at you, which Pete, I'm sure sounds very nice.
It'd be nice to get a response once. Yeah, I just think that it was, first off, amazing casting. I thought she did really look the part. But it was so weird to hear her talk like that. It was kind of creepy, especially when she was like, you want to see my boobs?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, Gillian Anderson is so good. She's so to see her in the show is great.
Yeah. I think I mentioned to you guys last episode that I've been watching Hannibal at the same time, the other Brian Fuller show, and she's on that as well. And she's the difference between these two characters. I mean, beyond the fact that it's Lucille Ball, is insane. Like, I feel like most people know her from the X-Files and they know her as Dana Scully and that's pretty much it. But to see the actual range that she has as an actress is stunning. And she's great.
You want to see Gillian Anderson at peak Gillian Anderson? Watch The Fall.
Yeah.
The Fall is a great show. Crime, sort of, it's murderer, serial killer. She's hunting him and it's like very sexually charged, but like she's just like ice queen the whole time. It's just amazing.
When do you guys have all this free time to watch other shows?
All the time, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, American Gods is like an hour long. And then there's several hundred more hours in the week.
Yeah, there's 24 hours every day, Pete. That's like 22 hour-long dramas.
That's intense that you guys watch so much TV.
And 2 hours of comedies.
Yeah. That's great. That's four comedies right there. Or if you're watching them on demand, it's like six comedies because they're usually about 20 minutes long.
Exactly. Season three of Catastrophe, you can blow through that so quickly.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Everybody should check it out. If you take one thing away from this podcast, please watch Catastrophe.
the blood budget for this show is off the...
Oh, yeah.
Everything bleeds. Yeah. I want to see the check, every checker bleed after they're killed.
Killed? How do you think checkers is played?
How do you play? I smash them with a hammer every time I take one of them off the board.
Yeah. Do you talk like this at the same time?
That's so. Seeing Peter Stormare play Chernabog, when it took me right back to Armageddon when he played the dude in the space station.
Yeah.
He's so great. I'll tell you, when they announced the casting for the show, just across the board, the two things that got me most excited were Ian McShane as Mr. Wednesday and Peter Stormare as Chernobog, just because those are perfect, absolutely perfect. And I can't believe how long was that sequence at the end? That had to be at least 5 minutes of just playing checkers, and it was great. Just
it was intense.
The tensest
it was
so game intense. Of checkers ever. So let's talk about where we left it. What do you think is going to happen next? Is Chernobog going to kill Shadow Moon? Is that it? Is that the end of the show?
I guess so.
It is a three-episode series. He's going to get hammer. He's going to get a hammer right to the head.
Mm-hmm.
He's as long as Chernobog still is worthy enough to lift the hammer, you know?
Oh, right. I get that reference. That's pretty good.
I guess we'll see if that's true.
Yeah. Well, cool. Before we wrap it up, if you guys have any questions for us, we regularly solicit them. So hit us up either about this episode or questions about the next episode for when we tape. You can hit us up on Twitter at Comic Book Live or email comicbookclublive@gmail.com. Also, you can send other pictures there or whatever you want. That's totally fine. But before we wrap up,
you're going to, you know, it's funny that you're soliciting dick pics, but you're going to start getting them.
Oh, God, I hope not. Let's end, as we always end, with God of the episode. Who was the God of the episode? Justin, do you have a pick?
Gotta go with Media. It's a great introduction for Media. Loved meeting her. Looking forward to seeing more from her.
Nice. Pete, what about you?
I'm going to go with Orlando Jones as the Nazi.
Anansi.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Yeah. You said... A Nazi, but he's Anansi.
Anansi, thank you.
Very close.
I just thought it was such a powerful, amazing monologue and a hell of a way to start the show. Although I am getting a little tired of the weird cutaway of just blood running across the screen. It kind of feels a little like student filmish sometimes.
Maybe it's the. It's the blood from the elevator and The Shining, and that was a god the whole time.
It was leftover blood from that, that shoot.
Still running. I'm very tempted to go for Chernobog just because I was so excited to see Peter Stormare in the part, but I'm going to agree with Pete on Anansi. That monologue was, as I said, one of the best things I think I've ever seen on television. It
very
was
good.
So good. If you'd like to support this show and the other shows that we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a regular live show every Tuesday night in New York at 8 p.m., which is totally free. You can check out info on that on our website, comicbookclublive.com. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
And remember, send me all your dick pics.
Worship at the altar of the podcast, God. And download and then play. Don't just download and not play, because then it doesn't count as a listen. So listen.
Remember to review and like.